Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Hagman Report. It's Tuesday, January 13, 2026. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank you very much for your belief and your trust in this platform and me and the work that we do here to evaluate where we're at. And we are right now, I believe, a nation at war. The title that I created was Attack Planning by Leftist Handlers. What to Know. And the steps to take. In other words, here's what's going on that has been pointed out to me a couple of times since we last got together. And this was confirmed to me. Actually, thank you, Leon. I got an email from Leon. I was quite aware of the content and the various things that are taking place inside our nation. And I want to share a few things because right now we're really at a precipice and we're at this moment in time. And I'll just say a hinge moment in history where I believe things are going to go very badly, very quickly. You know, it took, what is that saying? You know, it took a long time to get here or slowly at first, and then all of a sudden. That's kind of where we're at today, I believe. And by slowly, I'm talking about the last, I'm going to say 120 years, really. 115, a little over 100 years. It has taken us that long to get where we're at. The erosion of our culture. The left versus right has become in total good versus evil. And I'll just say that I believe that the descriptive titles of left versus right are not necessarily 100% or as accurate as they were perhaps 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. We're talking about good versus evil. We're talking about the planners, the elite oligarchs versus the rest of us. That's what we're talking about at this point, in my estimation, in my view. Now, I will say that the left, of course, or the Democrats, again, political labels not meaning a whole lot when you've got a lot of leftist ideology soaking in on the Republican or the right side, as we're seeing now with Congress, with the Senate, with elected officials who embrace that R before their name or after their name, I should say, and really they adhere to this same ideology or a 2.0 or a light ideological agreement with the left. It's again, the party labels are less than meaningful at this moment. So over this past, well, again, since I last saw you and you last saw me, I've been in contact with a number of people, and this is almost makes me glad, folks, that I'm in a position to have some time between the Thursday and Tuesday show, because there's a lot of things that come in, a lot of people that I'm able to speak with, a lot of people who are giving me information about things in the background, and I can share them with you today, right now. And this essentially was verified by Alex Jones. I don't know how many people saw his show today. And again, Leon, thank you so much for the link. You were one of several people who sent me the link, and I had this information before today. But as if you need this reminder, I guess I need to say this more as a placeholder, that we are right now, all of us, the normal, sensible people, the people of morality, the God believing, Bible believing Christians who embrace the conservative principles. We're under siege right now. Our nation is being torn apart from within by the left. Yes, and some on the right, but by the left predominantly. Insidious communists, the radical Islam, they are dead set on obliterating our nation, our sacred values, our American way of life. They have unleashed, as we have seen over the past half decade, and especially during the Biden regime, and under the, now we maybe we should put his mug on a milk carton, Alejandro Mayorkas. Where is he? Why is no one talking about Mayorkas? Just asking the question. But as we saw for the last half decade, it stopped under President Trump, this mass invasion of illegals across our borders. We've seen the left in offices such as the sheriff's departments, such as the prosecutors, and obviously the judicial branches at all levels, coddling criminals, adhering to their phony, false, fake, really non-existent, well, they shouldn't exist, sanctuary cities and states and areas. And they've been spitting on the graves of every patriot who fought and died to build this country. And they're spitting on us. Let me ask and set up tonight's program by this question to all. In the criminal world, what is one of the top reasons that someone would commit arson of a building or of an area, the specific site? What is one, not the, but one of the top reasons for a criminal to commit arson? I'm going to check the chat. As you type in your responses, and as you type in the responses, think in the context of this show tonight. I'm going to be looking at this right now. If you're watching on X, or if you're watching or listening to this on any platform other than Rumble, come on over to Rumble and join us there. Join us in the chat. Love to have you. Money, profit, absolutely. Deb, thank you. Yes, money, profit, yes. And Puke Bucket, sorry, the name. Insurance fraud, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I would say a majority of cases I worked in 38 years plus, insurance fraud of various types, from, you know, missing or mysterious disappearances of valuable items. It just made me think of the TV series Banachek. How many people saw Banachek? Now, boy, that was something, right? He lived large and obviously got a commission. Sadly, you know, commissions were not, you can't do that. Collect insurance. Being paid to do it. Well, all of those are correct. But one of the, and here's what I am thinking, and here's what I am seeing based on my analysis. We're watching a collective, this collective arson taking place. What's the motive? Is it to collect insurance money? Nah, no. Is it for profit? Yeah, but not in the way you might think. One of the top reasons for arson is it's actually a forensic countermeasure. It's to cover up another crime, whether it's murder or, for example, burning records in an office building. Okay. That's where I was headed with this. This is what we're seeing today. the left would much prefer, and for their own backsides and to cover up their criminal activity, they're, metaphorically speaking, setting our country on fire. And in some cases, realistically and practically speaking, they would rather see our country burn than for them to get caught in their criminal activity. Is everyone tracking with that? Did I make sense on that? Okay. All right. Again, think of what we're seeing today. Think of all of the events, everything that's coming out of the mouths of these elected officials or these elected elites and these governors and these. Think of all of this as what they're creating as a forensic countermeasure. You know, I dislike people saying, well, this or that is a distraction of whatever, you know, their interest might, whatever their interest lies or wherever it might lie. However, in this case, I think what we're seeing is, in a lot of cases, in addition to the arson to cover up the crimes that they've committed and are committing, it's also a diversionary tactic in this case. And here is the bottom line up front. We are going to see. We have knowledge, specific knowledge of the group on the left, or the group most ideologically tied to the left, but also, again, infested in both sides. We are seeing them preparing to attack us on the right, or us who are either individually or collectively with others attempting to expose the fraud. In addition to the forensic countermeasure of arson, and this is extremely concerning, and it should concern every one of you, please listen to what I'm saying. I'm coming to you in sincerity and all the seriousness I can muster. There is a plan. Actually, there are plans out there being orchestrated right now to bring what you're seeing in Minneapolis and in Portland and Seattle, and what we've seen in the past with the Floyd riots and riots post George Floyd. And I mean, think of all of these spontaneous, not so spontaneous, obviously, riots. They're intending to bring that to us by name, by individual address, by family. This is about to get personal. I want to be very clear on this. The people who are standing up for this godly righteousness, the people who are exposing this fraud, the people who are involved in pushing back and fighting back, whether it's at the local level, or even if you're just a blabbermouth, a big mouth, an opposing individual, or as some call them, influencers on social media, you're a target, a hard target, not a target of words, but of action. If I can ask again on the chat, how many people saw InfoWars, Alex Jones, today? At least the first hour. How many people have saw that? Because I collected, but what I did was I collected just a Well, again, since we last saw each other, I collected pages upon pages upon pages of research, notes, telephone call, notes from telephone calls and such. And it was really interestingly, it was addressed, some of it was addressed by Alex Jones. Perhaps the most important part of it was addressed by Alex Jones. Now, I do know that him and I, if you talk to him, he'd say, yeah, you know, I mean, we have the same sources. Not all of them, some of them, okay? The difference is, because of the nature of his platform, he has those, a lot of his sources on, obviously. I like to keep, and this is by my choice, I like to keep things a little bit more intimate. But for a lot of reasons. I want Alex Jones to just continue and just, I mean, absolutely go out there and to keep doing what he's doing. All right. When I look at what we're doing here, our focus, and I want to explain this too as well, because folks, this is kind of intimate now. This is personal. I'm giving you some personal information. What we're doing here is we, through some extremely talented investigators and through some extremely capable investigators who also have the muscle, if you will, we're focused on child rescue. Okay. And let me just divert a little bit from the tone of the program, just to address that for just one moment. If you've ever seen a child, or if you've ever been able to pick up a child from a situation and hold that child, maybe abused, small child, you know, maybe abused, maybe even sexually abused, or otherwise tossed into a system and forgotten and just treated like you would never treat an animal. And to see that person, not just, or that young person, that's the child, not just rescued, because that's only half the battle, but also treated for the trauma that they endured. You might say, well, I mean, if you've never seen it, you may say, well, you know, you can't get them all, and you know, but hey, there's so many out there, you know, what essentially almost what difference does it make? And I don't mean that from my point, but I almost understand that concept. But if you ever picked up a child like that and then watched that child, not just being rescued from a very bad situation, but also rehabilitated through the trauma, and maybe 2, 3, 4 years later, which we have had that ability to see through the years, going now in several years, actually, seeing that person grow up, mature into a well-adjusted adult, especially the young girls, my goodness. Then even one is worth it. Okay, so there. That was my diversion. Now, so rather than, you know, spend a lot of time on guest cultivation and such, I prefer to spend my time in that area. All right, that's just, again, between all of us, between you and I, just kind of talking. And the people from Russ's old group, Shatter Ops, they're so worthy of support and praise. And Craig Sawyer's group, and Save Them, the international version. I mean, tremendous work that they do. All right. So there's that. And that's where I prefer to spend my time, because now my time is very limited. And oh, by the way, condolences for the family of, or for the friend's family, and really for the nation. Scott Adams passed away, in case you didn't hear that. The cancer that he was I mean, got the better of them. Well, so God bless. Man, that tough fight, you know, it's a tough fight. So again, we have to use our time accordingly. And by the way, at the end of today's program, I've got this just terrific video. Folks, it's only 2 minutes long. At the end of today's program, you've got to watch, you've got to eat. So hang with me. Okay. Stay with me until the end, but let's get into what's taking place right now. Eric the Tech, to give you an example of the gauntlet that has been formed already, that we, the patriots, we, the conservatives, the Christian conservatives, are being forced to run through the cattle chute, if you will. I want to show you this. This was put out by the White House in last week. And there's something significant, and I'm not going to get into this, but there's something significant about the number. History, people within history and also cinematic buffs will understand that. But Eric the Tech, can you put up the White House social media post, if you don't mind? And this was, when was this put up? Yeah, this was put up. And if you want, you can put me on the side. It doesn't matter. I don't need to be on. But this was put up last week. And the article title is 57 times sick, unhinged Democrats declare war on law enforcement. Well, there's a whole hell of a lot more than 57 times. And there's more than just unhinged Democrats, although they make up the majority, as we know. And the declaration of war is not limited to law enforcement. It also extends to each one of us. And again, think, please, keep in the back of your mind that forensic countermeasure of arson. You know, here we are, here the criminals are. There they are. They have committed crimes. They have lined their pockets, some merely for profit, some driven by a sick ideological drive, whether it is to side with communist China or Russia or any communist state, Venezuela specifically, via Cuba or Cuba via Venezuela. It's a two-way street. Or whatever the drive is, the motivating factors are, these individuals have come out and just said, hey, you know what? What's taking place right now with ICE, with one of the only two federal constitutional law enforcement bodies. And that's the interesting part of this. When you go through the Constitution, is the FBI constitutional in by the Constitution? No. Border protection, that's constitutional. Federal law enforcement beyond that, not so much. Again, no, you got to know your history. So this caught my attention for, obviously, aside from the numerical, the number 57, why stop at 57? Because I guarantee you there's many, many more times that. Anyone in the chat get the cinematic reference yet? Go ahead. Let me know in the chat if you get the cinematic, or better yet, comment on underneath. Go to Rumble. Go to our channel, Rumble. And if you're not a member of Rumble or not following us on Rumble, follow us. And then leave a comment there for that cinematic reference to 57 times. But anyway, Eric the Tech, do you get it yet? Do you get that? You probably don't. I think you might be a little bit on the young side to get that. Do you? Come on. I want to hear you. I want everyone to hear you. Eric Stuck? No? You busy? Yeah. All right. Never mind.
I'm a baby.
You're a baby. Eric Tech's busy. God bless that man. He's busier than heck. You can go through this, and I'm going to post the link to this. I don't know how many people have seen this, but this is important because these are the infiltration, or this is the infiltration into our government. And for example, number 11, Bernie Sanders asked people to stop ICE from what they're doing as soon as possible. Now think about that statement. You have a senator, member of the Democratic Socialists of America, really the communist ideological entity that has infiltrated our government, which makes that number even more important. And McCarthy, I'll just spill it. McCarthy was in the movie, okay, in Manchurian Candidate movie, you remember that? 57. Come on, you remember that. But see, Bernie Sanders, as much of a putz as he is, holds that office, and he's telling people to interfere with ICE. He's telling people to commit a felony. So is Elizabeth Warren in number 12. And folks, you can go through this whole list. And then for each numerical entry, there's a link to show exactly what they said. And of course, you have the fear part. You've got all of this. And Blumenthal, Senator Blumenthal, accused ICE of spreading lawlessness and recklessness. And then Padilla, Alex Padilla, go figure, accused ICE of indiscriminate violence. Okay. Now, folks, I understand, you know all of this. But for those who may be tuning in, and I've got a couple that I got to, I don't have them. I was looking for the emails. I don't have them here. Just found you, and you know, really wanting to kind of catch up on things. And I'm obviously paraphrasing, but there are a lot of people who don't know what you know. I'm going to tell you that right now. And a lot of people who are waking up right now to the fact that, you know, there's a lot of trouble on the inside, and this shows the extent of that trouble. Now you can go ahead and put that down. So it'll be in the show notes, and folks, you can go right now. We're not syncing with Rumble. So you'd click on the headline of the show, or the title of the show, I should say. And then that'll give you the link to watch the video. It'll give you the actual audio link, and then below that will be the show notes. Okay, you got to go one extra step as opposed to just clicking on the picture or clicking on that thing on the whatever you call that, the panel that brings forth the video. You have to open up the post, but it's worth it because all of these source videos I'll show you are linked there. So, against the backdrop of the criminal activity, they got to burn the country down to kind of like run a missile into the Pentagon right at that sweet spot that had all of the records about the trillions of dollars of deficit and where'd the money go. This is, we're seeing this 2025/6 equivalent of just that, because they cannot afford to be caught. But then we have, of course, we have the Biden regime, communist holdovers within the Department of Justice, and then you've got Bondi. And look, this is not going to be about Bondi, what she is or isn't doing, okay? As far as I'm concerned, you know, actions speak louder than words. The people I worked for as an investigator, if you didn't bring the goods, then shut up. Okay. Seriously. If you didn't bring the goods, go back out and get the goods. The bottom line is show us, don't tell us, don't give us information in an interview, and certainly don't string us along. But anyway. So moving on from that, and understanding that everything that we're seeing play out is a step. The first step is to cover the crime, but the method, it's more than just a step, it's the method. And that method is that they must take out, they must attack, they must extinguish the voices, however that is possible, of those who are a threat to their empires, ideological or financial empires. That's the bottom line. And driving all of this on a global level is, of course, that spiritual battle, that demonic warfare. Okay. I want to save some time here, and I don't want to bore you, but I do want to play the video one. And again, Leon, thank you, and others, thank you. But this is from Alex Jones today. To give you an idea how bad this is, and when you look at the social media, your social media feed, you're going to see some pretty fringy things. You're going to see some pretty offensive stuff out there. And I have links, posts, pages for all of them. But thankfully, Alex made it easy for me. Thank you, Alex. We'll be talking. In fact, I found something of his. I got to give him. Never mind. Today, it was in a drawer. So let's go to video one. It started about 21 seconds in. And listen to what this individual says in the beginning. And also, folks, I say this once in a while, because a lot of people, when they tune in, if they haven't tuned in before, they may expect to hear someone who talks a mile a minute and who, is well scripted and all. I'm not that guy. And if I'm too slow for you, if you've got to put it on 1.5 speed to get through this, okay, I'm not that guy. And I'm not that guy on purpose. And I don't want to be that guy. All right, that said, here is cut one, starting about 21 seconds in. But listen to what this individual says. And then we're going to stop this. This will be the source video, because this includes a lot of data, a lot of the information that I was going to independently show you by piecemeal. Here it's all together. Go ahead.
We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it. I don't care if I don't have a Minnesota carry permit. I'm unarmed right now, but this is the last time I show up to face these guys without a weapon. There's no way. I got shot with a pepper ball 5 minutes after walking in here. I never laid a finger on them. I never raised a hand to them. I've only been using my voice. The time for speaking is over. The time for niceties is over. The time for peace is over. They fired the first shot. It is time to end this by any means necessary.
You're talking about, you know, potentially going to a dark place in this country. Do you foresee?
We're there. This is the dark place. This is the dark time. We have people being sent to Salvadorian concentration camps. We got other countries being raided for their oil. We're in the dark time. There's no way out of this. There's no voting our way out of this. We can't wait till November. There's no waiting to the ballot box. We need to get to the bullet box. That's the only way. If there was another way, I'd be advocating for it. I've spoken peacefully. I've marched peacefully. I marched without Sharpton. I marched on Washington. I've been peaceful. I've acted peacefully. The time for peace is over. The time for any
need. We looked this guy up. He's a professional agitator. And that's the big news, is they got their professionals out calling for this everywhere.
People need to show up with guns to face you guys. It's the time. We're an armed resistance against the United States of America.
Take your mask off.
This is done. We're done. You're murderers.
pause that, and you can drop it and pause that for a moment. Because behind all of this, all right, you're seeing something here that you will see increasing the sentiment, the calls for attacks on federal law enforcement officers. You're going to see these increase until such time as one or more coordinated, and please listen to what I am saying, because I don't know how many people out there are saying this, but there will be a coordinated armed attack against federal law enforcement officers in this nation, executing their lawful duties, constitutional duties, to rid criminals from these sanctuary areas. I'm telling you right now, that will happen. Whether or not it's successful or not, I don't know. Who would know? But it's going to, I believe, it's going to at least be successful to the point where there will be loss of life. And that, whether or not that kicks off something much deeper, is something that I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. It was funny because I was speaking with the Patriot doctor who I often reference today, and we were essentially going around in circles in our conversation. Well, what do you think when, if this happens, and this is something that is a mental exercise. Now, I shared with him, and I'm going to share with you, a communication I had with Jack Cashel, the prolific author, over the weekend. And I asked about copperheads in the Civil War. Okay. I don't know how many people out there know what a copperhead is relative to the Civil War. You know, the Democratic leaders that were fighting, for the South against the North. Folks, you can research what a copperhead is, okay, or was during the Civil War. And I asked if that was an apt or a proper metaphor or example of what's taking place today. And he wrote back, no. I mean, yeah, but no. He said, look, this, again, this is Jack, okay, Jack Cashel. And hopefully, Jack, it's okay I talk about this. But he said, no. He said, look at the nullification crisis in 1832 and 1833 during the presidency of Andrew Jackson, which involved a confrontation between the state of South Carolina and the federal government. It ensued after South Carolina declared the federal tariffs of 1828 and 1832 unconstitutional and therefore null and void within the sovereign boundaries of South Carolina, of that state. Okay, and it goes on. And in looking and doing the research of that, and I'm not going to bore you with all of this, but there's some parallels here to the governors versus the federal government. The Walls, the Newsom, the Hochul, the Maine governor. I mean, all of these governors who are soaked in leftist ideology, but also the benefactors of much money, of the profits from these diabolical criminal acts that involved this mass invasion, again, by the Biden regime, by Mayorkas, by other players within that entire scope of the Otto Penn presidency. Those people who have benefited now are looking, as the federal government, all departments or numerous departments of the federal government are looking at these people and these state institutions. Now they're looking for a way out. They've got to burn the place down to cover up their crimes. So there are a lot of historical parallels, but what is absent from history, I believe, is the fact that in addition to what we have, we've got this foreign influence. Now, again, this is all part of this lesson plan, I guess, you know, it's really not a lesson plan, but this is all part of this information that I want to offer you, because when you draw the lens back and you look at everything that's taking place and you look at the people like Walls, okay, how is Walls, for example, benefiting financially? How has he benefited? Is it merely financial, or is there an ideological portion to his acts? I would argue yes on both. There's this ideological belief that communism is good, and for him, communism, pushing it is fruitful, profitable. The same with Harris, which is why the 2024 elections, had they gone the other way, we would not be having this discussion. That's how close we are to a complete eradication of our rights, our freedoms, our liberties, the God-given liberties and freedoms, not given by the state, not given by the government, but by God, which they want to take away. So when you draw the lens back, who is behind this and why? You know, you could say, well, it's the usual suspects, but now as the federal investigators have been dispatched, and you've noticed, have you not, where the federal investigators have landed in Minneapolis, have landed in St. Paul, have landed in Kansas City, and they're looking at Columbus, Ohio, and they're looking at the criminal elements involved with this fraud against the federal government. Now you're seeing this holy crap moment by the people in power, the people, the benefactors of the fraud, and hence the arson reference. But behind all of this, there is this economic architecture. And the economic architecture is, it's a pretty exclusive club. At the top, you have people like Neville Roy Singham, George and Alex Soros, and then by extension, family members. Think, for example, Huma Abedin. Think of the colleagues and associates of all of them, the Clintons, and think about organizations like the Clinton Global Initiative. And you know, for example, when you think about that, Clinton Global Initiative, are they just in it to make money? Well, no, there are other factors involved there. And those other factors do include certain things like trafficking, okay, and other things. You get the idea. So there's multiple motives here, multiple individuals and groups, multiple methods, multiple crimes by kind of this group that's headed at the top of the pyramid by the usual suspects, implemented by, as you go down the pyramid, by the middle managers, and I would dare say people like Obama and Samantha Power, Cass Sunstein, and again, the usual suspects that you know. And then as you get down below, you've got the cannon fodder, the foot soldiers, the people with the purple hair, and the people like you saw on the screen calling, we're going to bring guns and we're going to look, do not. I mean, take them at their word, because they have been not just paid. And I'm not saying that guy was paid. I don't know, but there's enough verification that has shown that there are full-time professional agitators, I guess for a lack of better term, I would say seditionists, that have been placed, and I, please understand, I'm trying to be as precise as possible, have been placed in various locations, almost like regional managers to a business, a fast food chain, hotel chain, whatever. They're regional managers, and they're executing this agenda. Now, who are they associated with? Well, again, you've got some of the same suspects. You've got Code Pink, which co-founded by Singham's wife, Jody Evans. who's a fixture in American protests, along with co-founder Olivia DiNucci. I'm looking at digital notes now. You can find her, for example, in numerous protests. And then you've got the other organizations like the International People's Assembly, which is a global umbrella group for socialist and communist organizations that partners with Singham. And Singham is the head of the or the founder of the Tricontinental Institute for Social Research. So here's what I'm telling you. This is a global movement by a small group at the top of this pyramid, a small group of individuals who are using the groups in the other parties as the managerial side of things. And then as you go down, then you got people like that yapper and who are managing, they're acting like regional managers. And then at the very, very bottom, you got people such as, the tatted up or the lunatic liberal leftist white woman. Okay. My apologies to women, because these are not women. They're not women. My apologies to the women listening to this who are truly women, who believe, for example, that Renee Good was, as a matter of fact, was a victim of ICE brutality. And speaking of Renee Good, before we get back to Alex Jones, let's go to John Bond's report, because there is so much misinformation, deliberate misinformation. Oh, where's that? What's her name? Disinformation, singing, that girl, where's she at when you need her, right? I'm laughing. And it's not funny, but let's take a look at Renee Good. I have gathered a lot of information about Renee Good and her. I can't even say this. The woman who pretends to be her wife. I have a hard time saying the name of a woman and then saying her wife. It just doesn't make sense to me. Same with husbands. It's Mr. John Smith and his husband. What the hell? Okay. No. And hell no. But anyway, who is this Renee Good? And why, for example, the lies, the disinformation, why is that still spreading out there? For crying out loud. Stop it. These people need to stop it. You're going to hear more in that Jones clip, but let's go to cut two. This is John Bowne. The truth about this Renee Good, the individual who attempted to and actually struck with her 2-ton vehicle an ICE officer, who this Renee Good impeded a federal operation and was aggressive. And I looked at every single open source video that's out there, and I actually on a hard drive have saved every open source video that's out there. And let me tell you, and oh, one other thing, I was able to speak with someone who is very close to the ICE agent. I'm not going to mention that ICE agent's name, because he's got a huge target on his back. You're going to see that momentarily. But I spoke with that individual, and this, there's a lot more to this. And I'm not prepared to get into it, but I want to alert you to the fact that there's a lot more to this Renee Good / other woman / that movement that took place at that very neighborhood on that day, at that moment. There's a lot more behind that. But rather than get into that now, let's go back and let's keep it out of the weeds and let's watch Bowne's report here. This is video 2 in the show notes. Here it is.
That's fine, dude. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at
That's okay. We don't change our plates every morning, just so you know. It'll be the same plate when you come talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen, you want to come at us? You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Renee Nicole Good wasn't a lot of things, but she also wasn't someone that deserves to be used to further divide Americans by the desperation of a governor and a mayor drowning in an ongoing fraud investigation.
Our police, many of whom are Somali themselves, are trusted partners in keeping people safe. They will not collaborate with any federal agency around doing immigration enforcement work. They will not cooperate with ICE agents.
Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven for undocumented immigrants.
In Minneapolis, we have your back. You will be protected and respected by our city employees, regardless of your immigration status.
I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the out of Minneapolis.
Minnesotans, don't take the bait. Do not take the bait. Do not allow them to deploy federal troops into here. Do not allow them to invoke the Insurrection Act. Do not allow them to declare martial law.
She also doesn't deserve to be used by the Mockingbird media as gasoline to be thrown on a fire.
As the vehicle passes, you can see the dark colored SUV driven by Renee Nicole Good. That's on the right there in the back. The surveillance video taken by a home nearby. Agents can be seen milling about near the vehicle, then converging on it. And then you see right there the SUV begins to move, and that's when the shots are fired.
There's not the slightest doubt in your mind, having viewed it, that the victim, you still believe that she deliberately tried to ram him despite seeing this video.
Look, I don't know what is in a person's heart or in a person's head, and obviously we're not going to get the chance to ask this woman what was going on. What I am certain of is that she violated the law. If people want to say that we should have a legitimate debate about, you know, what was she really doing, right? Was she panicking when she drove into this officer, or was she actually trying to ram him? That's a reasonable conversation.
Pause that if
What's
you can.
Not just, reasonable.
Yeah. Can you rewind that just to where I said pause at? Just like 5 seconds, I don't know. All right. Right there should tell you everything you need to know. In a law enforcement operation, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this by way of audio platform, if you go to our Rumble channel, or just go to the link at Alex Jones, and or just, you can find this video just about everywhere. But understand this. That's at that moment. Well, actually before, but at that was the last possible moment that law enforcement, as well as the actor, the criminal inside, sitting in the driver's seat of that vehicle, that was the last possible moment for any possible de-escalation. There was a conscious decision that was made by that individual, goaded, of course, as we saw, by what they call her wife. And again, those words are hard for me to get out, but the fact that her wife was goading and prompting her to take this action should, in a normal and sensible world, should also, there should be charges against that woman as a, not just a co-conspirator, well, as a co-conspirator and this story. Now, go ahead and pick it up from there, and I'll try not to interrupt here. Go ahead and pick it up from here.
She drove into this officer, or was she actually trying to ram him? That's a reasonable conversation. What's not reasonable is for so many of you to plaster all over the media that this was an innocent woman and that the ICE agent committed murder, which is what many of you have said explicitly and some of you have said implicitly.
She also wasn't at the wrong place at the wrong time, and she wasn't merely a legal observer.
She was an anti-ICE radical and apparently knew exactly what she was doing.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her, but she was very she was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there. Yeah.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely, yeah. Okay. That was her goal.
Did you guys know that she had enrolled her kid in a charter school in Minneapolis that was training parents to fight ICE? Because she absolutely did. The New York Post has an article out where they dug into the Southside Family Charter School a little bit. Apparently, this school is where Renee Good, who was fairly new to Minneapolis, was introduced to ICE protesting in the first place. Oddly enough, this school sounds way worse than a leering sitter. It was opened in 1972 to have an unabashed focus on social justice education. No, really, this is straight from their website. We integrate social justice into every grade level, telling the stories of the people, not the people in power, and helping students understand history and their role in making the world a better place. A gym teacher who retired last month said that current events like George Floyd were a regular part of the curriculum. This is for little kids. So the article goes on to say that it was through her involvement with the community at Southside Family Charter School that Renee Good got involved with Ice Watch, a group dedicated to disrupting ICE.
And clearly her wife knew as well.
You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy. Go ahead.
So as the left continues down this path, it appears that Renee Good will only be the first of many. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Okay. So a couple of things on this. A couple of important points. The mention of the classes teaching the resistors, as they call them, you know, they appear to have the moral high ground, has increased. Okay, the training has increased right now today, and I'm waiting right now on a number of investigators who will be contacting me sometime this week with the locations, the total number, along with the locations and the documentation for the training that is taking place by these cannon fodder, brainwashed leftist lunatics out there in Portland and other places, really all across the nation. This is extremely important, because remember at the open of this broadcast, I was talking about arson and the reasons, the top reasons for arson. And I mentioned forensic countermeasure to cover crimes. This is part of that. This was unleashed by the Weather Underground in the 60s, this kind of training. And this lasted through the Vietnam War. Again, regardless of the motive, the training is now has been refined to fit today's situation. So getting kind of cerebral as opposed to, you know, just showing a bunch of videos that are fringe and or seemingly fringe, or showing a bunch of videos of people acting like assholes and impeding these law enforcement operations. There's a very specific purpose behind it, and that purpose was birthed back after after the Weather Underground. And don't forget Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, these people, although a little bit crusty, aged, kind of like me, they're still around. They're still around and they're still active. And let us not forget the trusted allies of none other than Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama. Okay? Just saying. And when you look at certain events, this is something else, because think about J6, about January 6th. And I was sent a book and a letter by Thomas Edward Caldwell. Does that name ring a bell to anyone? absolutely vilified in the media, and he was associated with and tried along with the Oath Keepers. What they did to Thomas Edward Caldwell, when I say they, I'm talking about the Department of Justice under Biden. I'm talking about the FBI under Ray. When I say Department of Justice, I'm also talking about the Bill Barr extension. Okay, because again, this is not just right versus left or left versus right. This also has its tentacles in the so-called Republicans in office. Think Rand, the independent Rand Paul, of course. Think what he's got to lose as a benefactor, alleged benefactor. Just when I need another lawsuit. But anyway, so think about all of these individuals and what they have to lose. And go back again to the opening. All of this is for a very specific and precise reason. Sure, it's to divide our country. Sure, it's to conquer our country from within. But they've got to protect the spoils which they have gotten. And yes, we have documentation that we're putting together. I've got to say, it's complicated, but most good frauds are complicated. Now, some are stupidly simple because you have the cooperation of people like the DHS, the Department of Human Services in Minnesota, who are really, you know, look the other way or are part of it or whatever the case might be. So, I mean, that's just stupidly simple. But then you've got the larger frauds where you've got money laundering operations, which, by the way, is why Ukraine comes into the picture. So you wonder why all these people are walking around with the Ukraine pins back a number of years ago when everything first started. Oh, my goodness. And why did that start? Well, everything you're seeing on a domestic level also is happening on a global level. And the bigger the fraud, the more vast the fraud is, the global, they've got to, instead of starting little dust-ups, if you will, here in Minneapolis, or not here, but in Minneapolis, now they've got to do it countrywide, like, okay, Ukraine, think back to 9/11, missing money, missile, boom, right into that. Boy, isn't that something. Building 7, what was in Building 7? Really, bang, can't find nothing, everything's destroyed. This is all part of the same program. It's just been refined. But now they have a problem. And just to be sure everyone is on up, you know, on the same level here. Those who dismissed people like Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, and those who dismissed, and this is the one beef I have with Steve Bannon. Although, look, I understand. You got to stay in your own lane, right? You got to stay in your own lane sometimes. Because Steve Bannon says, well, I'm not a machine guy. Mike Lindell, Tina Peters. Why is she still? Why, I ask you, why is Tina Peters still being subjected to the absolute cruel, inhumane, the conditions? The book I mentioned by, in the letter I mentioned by Thomas Edward Caldwell, his book, which I devoured during downtime, which I have quite a bit downtime when I'm sitting, not in my office, but sitting elsewhere, and I'm able to, you can read between the lines, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm reading the book, And to read what happened to him, and what happened to all of the J6ers, and what's happening to Tina Peters. And I mean, this is now, right now, everything that they have attempted to do, well, done, and then are attempting to do, I should more precisely state, is being threatened. You mean the operation threatening them. It may look cumbersome. It may look ugly. It may not be like the, you know, the TV show kind of investigation. Okay. But it's happening and they're feeling the heat. So they're starting they're the arsonists. They're starting the fire to cover up this stuff. One aspect of Mr. Caldwell's book, I have to say, really struck me because he explained, he talked about diesel therapy. And there was once in a while I kid about the, you know, a prisoner having a waffle face, and the people in law enforcement know, okay, who have been in law enforcement know the, in the old days, you know, that screen, the kind of like a chain link fence that separated the back from the front of a patrol car. You stop short, kind of like a Seinfeld episode, stop short, and no one there to hold the suspect back, and all of a sudden face plant against the screen, and that's kind of like a waffle face. But this, he mentioned diesel therapy. And to think that this is happening today, even today, but to think that this happened to him during the Biden regime, where a couple of if you don't know what diesel therapy is, in his case, there were two prisoners taken from a specific jail, moved by federal marshals to another location where really Mr. Caldwell was not even involved in the proceedings, but he was in the vehicle. And they took the long way, shall we say, from a Virginia prison to D.C., and in taking the long way, they took some back roads and they stopped in the back road. And the diesel therapy is nothing but dragging the prisoner out, shackled, and just beating the living crap out of him. Okay. Putting him back in the van, in the transport van, and carrying on with your business. And the lasting trauma, the lasting physical effects is they're severe. All right. So the reason I brought that up is because this is happening and this will continue to happen. And in a change of leadership in the current environment, it is going to, very possible, happen to all of us if nothing is done about this. If you think for one second that you're nobody, I'm nobody, we're nobody, so we know there's no chance of this happening to us, oh, think again. Okay, I kind of went off script there, but you get the idea. Okay, now, as I mentioned, the training that's taking place right now. Folks, you're going to want to pay attention to this week. I'm going to have some time again this week because of certain conditions where I'm going to be doing some writing on my Substack. I only have one article there on my Substack page. I'm going to be outlining pretty much what is taking place and then talking about it, but specifically outlining it in writing so you can actually keep it, copy it, and verify it yourself. But if you think about the what the weathermen, how they formed, not the motives for, or not the ostensible historic history book motives why they formed, but if you think about who they were working for as foot soldiers, you can see the outgrowth from that communist group back in the 60s. Remember Larry Grathwall? He was a friend, a good guy, talking about his infiltration into the Weathermen, Weather Underground, and not too far from where I'm set, Buffalo, a suburb of Buffalo, talking about killing us. That is still in play. As a matter of fact, that has been resurrected. It never went away, but refined and resurrected. So what I'm telling you is they're coming for us. there were signs along the way. There was a November 7th, 1983 bombing at the Capitol. Remember that? Caused $250,000 worth of damage. The explosion, it was from the May 19th Communist Organization. They operated as the Armed Resistance Unit. Again, November 7th, 1983. Big bombing. Bang. Boom. It was the May 7th. I was going to play a clip from that, but you get the idea. It was a mess. And of course, other bombings took place going back to 71 when a Weather Underground member detonated a bomb in a Senate bathroom in protest of U.S. military actions in Laos. And that was a pretty nasty blast. Okay. So they're still active. That's the point I'm trying to make. If you want to point, like, say, okay, who's doing all this? I'm telling you. One more thing, just so you know. The other organizations that we have right now a lot of indicting information about. The Party for Socialism and Liberation, known as the PSL. This is a Marxist-Leninist communist political party in the U.S. It was founded in 2004 as this group, which was part of the Workers' World Party, this communist organization, split from them. The split was because, well, the split was originally primarily from the San Francisco branch of the Workers' World Party, along with other members who criticized the Workers' World Party leadership for no longer effectively pursuing the goal of building socialism. In other words, it wasn't happening fast enough for them. They weren't doing it. They weren't radical enough. Some of the key founders and others include, for example, Richard Becker. Richard Becker, Brian Becker. Now, Richard Becker, Brian's brother, is also co-founder of the PSL and serves as a Western Regional Coordinator for, guess what? For ANSWER, the ANSWER Coalition. Central organizer with ANSWER Coalition and previously served as the editor of the Liberation newspaper published by the PSL. Now, both Richard and Brian Becker are members of the WWP, the Workers World Party, and its International Action Center. They played leading roles in a number of different anarchist movements. So if you're looking to say, okay, who's, you got Brian Becker, a prominent national leader and co-founder, often involved in media such as Breakthrough News. Brian Becker, co-founder of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. National director of Act Now and Stop War and End Racism. The ANSWER Coalition, as I mentioned. You've got the Beckers being involved in the People's Forum and Breakthrough News outlets, where he hosts a socialist program. There are so many programs out there rife with this agenda. But the important part is you have churches, synagogues, and for a slightly different reason, you've got these Islamic centers all involved in training, and it's happening right now, right this moment. And I can go on with the various, people, okay? But you get the idea. Defend 612. Now, that's specific, by the way. Actually, Defend 612 is worthy to mention right this moment. Now, John Baum did not mention this, but this is the anti-ICE group known as Defend 612, anti-ICE group that Good, Renee, and her wife, Becca Good, were involved with. Defend 612, which is the area code for Minneapolis. It doesn't take a rocket science to understand this. They were offering training. Now, Baum did say this. They were offering training and organizing these noise demonstrations, which is why these things are so annoying to watch, play, and listen to. And other tactics to protest ICE organ operations. Now, if you want to take it one step further, the Fend 612 is supported by the Sunrise Movement, which just happens, like its name suggests, to be a climate change-oriented activist group tied to guess who? Come on, you can do it. Guess who? AOC. Okay. So when you go to Defend 612's website, their mission statement is explicitly states that residents of the 612 area code are willing to take risks to stop ICE. Does that perhaps show you something a little bit different? Does that make you look at the video a little bit differently? That the two, that Butch 1 and Butch 2, good and good. Hurts me to say that. They were involved with Defend 612, and they were teaching people, being taught, and also teaching people how to fight against ICE. Hey, Ilhan. Hey, Jacob. Twinkle Toes. Hey, Jazz Hands. Walls. You sure you want to continue with your statements? All right. So having said all of that, let's go back to video one, the source video, Alex Jones. And let's continue with this, because he lays this out better than I can, faster than I can. But it's important. It's important for you to know the backstory and the really the architecture with of what you're seeing. That's why I'm here. Just to show you the architecture and to provide the investigative work product. It's not necessarily open source, or it's not by people involved in the investigations. It's our investigative work product. That's not to say other people haven't found it or aren't talking about it, but ours, at least we have identified and we can authenticate the information we found, if that makes sense. But let's go back to, let's continue on with the first video. Here it is.
Thank you guys, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday, January 13th. 2026, we've got this guy's identity and his background. He's a Democrat Party NGO operative, and who pops up with different narratives around the country at key points. And I started noticing about 3 days ago in New York, in D.C., in Minnesota, in Washington State, in Oregon, everywhere, you are seeing these exact talking points where they lie about what ICE is doing and then legitimize the fact that they're going to be violent because ICE is illegal and ICE isn't real and ICE is committing crimes and ICE is killing innocent people after all their violence and all their attacks on ICE and the National Guard getting killed and all the rest of it and all the ICE facilities getting shot up and the Border Patrol being killed. They finally have this lady driving her car around, blocking him, doing all of it, spinning out, running into him. And still, even Trump yesterday on Air Force One's like, well, you see in the video where she runs into him and you hear the big boom, I believe he was hit. No one at the White House have I seen show the multiple camera angles from the front of him bouncing off the front of the damn car. It just, I pull my hair out. We had that before the show was over last week when it happened. Was it Wednesday? Before the broadcast was over. We had the Ring camera footage, and the local news reported it. Case closed. I noticed that ICE put it out a couple days later. We cannot be this far behind the curve, folks. It's unbelievable. Instead, we've got Jen Psaki and all of them still. They did it again yesterday, showing footage from behind the car saying, oh, they claim she hit him, but there's no proof. They're damn liars. This is a big deal because they're trying to trigger a national uprising with it. We'll get to this and a lot more massive developments on so many fronts straight ahead. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Share the live feeds now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Go ahead and continue that if you can.
Hey, I've had laryngitis the last few days, but I'm not contagious. My voice isn't having any pain, but I appreciate everybody putting up with the fact that I've basically lost my voice. It's come back a little bit today. It was almost completely gone yesterday, and if I would just rested today, it would obviously have been better by tomorrow, but the history is too important. The news is too powerful. It's not that Harrison wouldn't have done an excellent job if he hosted today. I called up midnight last night and said, my voice is gone. Will you host? He said, yes. When I woke up this morning, after about 3 hours of sleep, and just my voice had come back some, and I just texted him and said, no, go ahead and do the war room. He'll knock it out of the park at 3 p.m. Central today. Harrison's always done a great job in his 9 years here, but, man, he's really, really knocking it out of the park now. Very, very proud of the work he's doing. And, of course, Brian Morello as well, absolutely nailing it. Okay, so, and the rest of the crew. I always say, here's what's coming up. And then the first thing I cover, I start getting into it. It's just how I am. But we are going into Iran. Trump is going to strike them, bare minimum. There are covert forces on the ground there. This is a real national uprising. The mullahs in internal polls are about 80% negative. I support regime change, but by the people, not by us. Obviously, Israel's got factions it's backing. The son of the Shah and all the rest of it. In the studies of the different factions in Iran, the majority do not want a mullah or a king. And I think that makes sense. And so I really don't like regime change because we'll just swap out one tyranny with another. Strangely enough, Rudolph Giuliani over the weekend posted on X the history that the CIA overthrew Iran in 53, a pro-American leader, but he wanted to keep some of the oil money, half of it for the people, Mohammad Mossadegh, Operation Ajax. And then he went on to point out that we installed the Shah, who was very, very oppressive with the Savak, and never really gave them a chance to be a free country. And he said that, you know, he's happy to see what's happening over there, but he really doesn't think we should be involved in picking who's going to be in control. And people said, wow, based Giuliani. Absolutely. So that's my view on this. Yes, I in theory support removing the mullahs, who are absolute dictators and just horrible people, and execute people, you know, who peacefully demonstrate. They've already handed out a bunch of death sentences to people they caught protesting peacefully.
Okay, you can stop that right there. Pause that right there. And he does, Alex does get into the historical aspects of how we started the color revolution in Iran. The reason I wanted that to continue is because a lot of people, I think, understate the global implications of what we're seeing. This is not just confined to the U.S. When you have players like Soros and you have players at Davos, whatever, and you have President Trump about ready to go to Davos in a couple of weeks and to address that, understand from my perspective, when you look, it makes a whole lot more sense when you look at this from a global perspective and then drill down into the U.S. side of things. But remember, I just want to remind people, for the purpose of a visual aid, let me just make sure. If this, for example, as I stated at the beginning of the show, if this was the evidence of the fraud, of the spoils by the people in power, by the Walzes, by the Omars, if this was the evidence, this represents right here the tools being used to destroy this evidence at the direction of those people who are benefiting from the crimes. And of course, you know, you have what? You have the arson as the result. There's no two ways about it. This is what you get. Holy cow. Sorry about that. Oof. I don't want to get wet. It's still going. Smart, wasn't it? Okay. So, and I'm in front of the campfire here. Yeah, you have to appreciate my dedication. So there's that. Understand the global aspect of this. Now, if you could take that, Eric the Tech, and if you can advance that same video, or you know what, if you can go to video 14, I just sent this to you. I want to remind people who have hung with me and who have stayed with me some of the warnings about what we're talking about going back into the fall of this year, of last year, I'm sorry. This would be cut 14 in the show notes. This is from Rural America's Voice. And at the time, I thought this at the time, I think you had to appreciate the surprise, the concern. In this case, a Portland council member advising service members not to report for duty in the military deployment. This is a very different order of magnitude than a civil war. This is actually, as I mentioned earlier about Jack Cashel, this is it's almost like the nullification crisis back in the 1830s. But again, I digress. But listen to this very short Real America's Voice clip from September of last year. Cut 14. Here it is.
It's the fact that it's feeling more and more like a civil war in America. And of course, the situation in Portland is a flashpoint. It feels like Fort Sumter to me. You even have a Portland City Council member, very reminiscent of Confederacy type stuff, telling U.S. troops and National Guardsmen and women not to report for duty if they're sent or deployed to Portland. I mean, that is a secessionist comment. That is an insurrectionist comment, and I'm sure he has a lot of support among his fellow politicians there. It's a violent situation, and there seems to be absolutely no remorse. Forget about the people perpetrating the violence, Lael, but the politicians, the governor of Oregon, the mayor of Portland, this city councilman, they seem to be all in favor of violence against the federal government. Talk me off the cliff, Lael.
Well, look, I gladly will, because I think while the description is correct, there's one big difference. The Civil War, of course, was fought between Americans who held very different beliefs. This, as we could tell by an arrest of a gentleman who tried to attack an ICE facility and other federal troops yesterday with a laser pointer, and of course was found out to be an illegal alien. This is not a war between Americans. This is a conflict between Americans who want law and order restored and radical Democrats who want to import armies of illegal migrants to fight on behalf of their lunatic ideas. That's a very, very different order of magnitude. I think an overwhelming majority of Americans understand exactly what the freak is wrong with Portland and why we need President Trump to step right in, as he did in D.C.
Now, the reason I called that up is because the international aspect of it, and then you've got the same view, but then an additional view of the motives and the tactics involved. In that case, Portland. Now you've got, of course, Minnesota. And isn't it something to watch the different states almost take on the same or pull from the same playbook? So then it would stand to reason that you've got that top of the pyramid kind of activity taking place. All right. So there is that. And I want to also reach out to and mention a Decifile. reporting APMEX silver spot price at $90.39 USD. Shanghai silver price in dollars, $93.83. People will look at that and say, my goodness, the price of silver is rising. Well, just like that, inexpensive prop I use of evidence, arson, and, you know, what needs to be done. This is very telling. It's really not the value of silver going up, a very highly controlled commodity, but it's the value of our dollar going down. So you've got this once in a lifetime, once in multiple generations series of events that are interrelated. The economical factors built into this as well. All of this is absolutely connected. So Odessa, thank you so much for for mentioning that. But so Eric, if you can advance that to the 36 minute mark, that would be in that video one. And let's continue on with that, because that's about where it picks up. And again, Leon, thank you so much for the cue prompt in that, or the prompting, I should say, in that particular video. That did save me some time, and it also verified the time markers that I had. So it started at roughly 36 minutes of cut one, and let's continue on. Some of it might be a little bit of a duplicate from what you already saw, but it does go on to explain some of the ramifications that we all need to be really paying attention to big time, and goes to the heart of the title of Attack Planning by Leftist Handlers. Here it is.
And those are the people to take out. He tells Americans that humble American flags would be the best place.
I'm sorry. Can you go back to 35? I'm sorry, Eric the Tech. I am so sorry about that. By the way, everyone, studio audience, give Eric the Tech a standing ovation. There you go. You got really lots of people just standing up here. Guy in the blue sweater, stand up. All right, thank you. All right, there he goes. All right, so go ahead and continue from there.
Shoot me! Shoot me! Shoot me! You want to shoot me? You want to shoot me? Shoot me! Go ahead! Shoot me! Shoot me! Pepper spray me! Hurt me! Shame on you! I'm your grandmother!
Yeah, she's out there trying to get people to kill her so she can play victim. It's like a video game. You unlock a new character. But I noticed this clip, because I'm only showing you some of these, because I do the whole show, but I showed them all to you. Just the ones I've run into.
I feel you,
this
Alex.
This is a known Chi-Com pro-Chinese government influencer from Communist China calling on Americans to start a civil war by building a database of homes displaying American flags, labeling those residents as the real enemy, which the Democrat Party has said in their different drills, and the Weather Underground and others, that flags actually are creating databases. He says that's the places to raid during the Civil War to get the guns, and those are the people to take out. He tells Americans that humble American flags would be the best places to procure weapons. And Communist China helped fund the production of one battle after another that shows just this. Kill anybody with an American flag and civil war. Think about that. Absolutely amazing. Here he is.
If you have an American flag in front of your house, swipe away. Do not watch this video. Okay, there's about 10% Americans want the revolution. It's too early, but it's not too early to prepare for the revolution. Let me share with you a business plan to prepare for the revolution. Right now is 2026. If some households still have an American flag in front of their house, that means those people are supporting the American system. They are your enemy, and they will be your enemy when the revolution starts. Before you eat the rich, you need more resources and weapons. Where to get all these resources and weapons? Get it from those households who got American flag in from their house. Okay, so you guys also need to have a community and set up a website and ask all your members to take picture of every household who got American flag and upload those information to your website, address of each household. When the time comes, you guys can use this information as evidence to eat them first. Eat them, God will support you. Buddha will support you. Eat them with no regret, okay? So this is my business plan for you. When the time comes, some household, they will pay you a lot of money just to take off those information off your website.
Now let's go back to the known Democrat Party operative who shows up all over the country. He brags about it. Paid by the NGOs. Notice he says we're going to war with the U.S. government. They hate the American flag. They hate the Constitution. They hate the Bill of Rights. They say ICE isn't legitimate. They say none of the laws are legitimate. They say two men can have a baby. They're at war with reality. They want to put men in women's sports. They want to put men in girls' locker rooms. It's all about dominating you, all about breaking your will. What did he say? He said, we're going to war with the United States government. What did the Chi-Com operative just say? Mark your neighbors. Get their guns. Take them out. This is a war. They're using malice tactics. The whole thing is. And you look that guy up, he's a pro-Chi-Com operative. That's how weak they think we are. And on J6, they could wave hundreds of people in the velvet robes, high-fiving the cops once they opened the doors up. People didn't know what was happening. The feds had broken in. And they would send old ladies in jail for 2 years, no trial, for walking between velvet ropes. They knew right who they were, how to find them, how to SWAT team them. But they sure can't find any of these people that are openly calling for the murder of Trump, his family, calling for the murder, the attack on ICE children and wives. I've got clips of women saying, I live right by the guy that shot the woman. And I think you should come to his house. And here's the address. And we looked it up. It's really his address. And she thinks there's no repercussion in the world. She's just showing off. You know, her husband's at work. She's sitting around all day doing God knows what, eating bonbons. And then to her to go, you know, get street cred with the left, she thinks it's cool. Let's play a clip of them declaring that this is about America. You know, this is about war with America. Here it is.
People need to show up with guns to face you guys. It's time for an armed resistance against the United States of America.
Take your mask off.
This is done. We're done. You're murderers. You shot a woman in a wheelchair. We need to come back.
All right, you can pause that for a moment. And I did have an attachment, Eric, the tech I sent to you. So you have this war declared really by the states, by Tim Walz, leading the pack, of course, in Minnesota. And we should all, and I, look, I'm going to toss this out there for humor, okay? But there's really nothing funny about this. And I don't know how many people saw this going around, but here's Minnesota National Guard being activated. And folks, I direct your eyes to the screen now. That's what Tim Walz, Minnesota National Guard. And I put that up there for a bit of humor, but that's not that funny when you think about it. I don't know how many people have seen that, but Eric the Tech, did you get a chuckle out of that? Come on, man. Come on. Come on, man. Did you get a chuckle out of it? No? Mm-hmm. He's quiet. He's been quiet. I'm worried about him. All right. So Just moving on a little bit more, Pete, because I do want to kind of make this a little bit more concise, kind of wrap this up, because what is taking place right now? On the streets, you have the federal law enforcement. In fact, Patriot Doctor said, hey, guess what? There's a whole group in the Walmart parking lot of federal ICE agents, you know, ready to, they're having a strategy session. They're ready to deploy. So now you have all of these cities. I didn't realize there were that many federal law enforcement ICE agents out there, or working with ICE as deputized or real. I didn't realize there were that many, but there's a whole lot, and it's getting more and more and more. And then you have, like you saw in this, in the video, you got guys like that saying, we're going to bring our guns. How do you think this is going to end? How do you think this is going to end? It's especially, and Eric, to take, if I can bother you one last time, unscripted, this is not part of it, but on my timeline on X, folks, I'm going to show you this because I don't know if you get it. So on my timeline, down probably down to January 11th. I created this photo montage, and not very well, I might add, Eric the Tech would say. Boy, you suck at that. But I'm going to show you this. Especially for, I don't want to use the word boomers, but especially for anyone over 50 or whatever, anyone that can appreciate this progression, this evolution of Minneapolis. Did you find it? Can you put that up, Eric the Tech? Or when you do find it, put it up. There's a three-panel picture. There it is. Folks, do you get that? Again, I direct it for those people in Rumble. I direct your eyes to the screen. Do you understand that? The people watching this show, do you understand that? Or do I have to explain that? Because you may not have any idea what you're looking at on the left of that montage. Left is your screen on that montage. In the words, you can have this, you can have the town. Why don't you take it? Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the lyrics to a sitcom back in the 70s? Take it they did. Captured, conquered. These freaks, but they're not freaks. The foot soldiers are freaks. The people behind it, they're the ones who are benefiting. I don't know if anyone appreciates that, but thank you. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Sorry to have you go to an unscripted thing. But okay. So, all right. So to kind of bring this all together, by the way, there are quite a few show notes that I didn't get to. You can look at the show notes, and I would urge everyone to watch on the show notes and take a look at watch the specific videos. But let's go to, video 8. When confronted, and this also shows how close in that little visual aid demonstration I did, how close we are to seeing that evidence burn by design. But when confronted, Arianna Pressley, for example, a representative of the people of you and I, right? The Baldy, man, you could, wow, just is that thing shiny? Her noggin shiny. But then, forget about that. But when asked about the fraud, when asked these uncomfortable questions, What's the response now, today? Today, what's the response now? It's more like this, which shows you the severity. Shows you the severity of the problem. Here's cut 8. Here it is.
You support...
Sir, get my phone out of my head.
Excuse me. Sir. Congressman Pressley, do you support President Trump investigating Somali child care fraud in Minnesota? Congressman Pressley. Do you support...
So, yeah, what you're seeing right there... Yeah, you can. So what you saw right there was a citizen journalist confronting, as everyone is permitted to do so, asking a question of Pressley about the fraud. And what was the answer? There was no answer. There was just physical contact. Do you think things are heating up a little bit more? But were they heating up? Are they heating up on the ground? Yes, but they're also heating up in the halls of Congress, because now... the threat has never been closer. The uncomfort, the discomfort level is raising. So there's that. And then let's not forget some of the J6 darlings in this, in video 9. Okay, in the show notes. Let's not forget about Michelle Fanone, right? Let's not forget this dweeb. The former J6 Metro police officer who became this left-wing activist, Democratic darling, the darling of the left, this tatted-up mental midget from J6. Turning the heat up even more. Video 9, cut 9, here it is, a minute long, here it is.
ICE and CBP abuse their power. It's probably the millionth fucking time that we've seen this happen. And it's not even the first time that someone has been seriously injured or lost their lives. And so these politicians and these local, state, and municipal law enforcement agencies need to wake the fuck up. I appreciate the foul language coming out of the mouth of, you know, the mayor of Minneapolis. And I think that his sentiment in the moment was appropriate. That being said, What are you doing? What are you directing your law enforcement agencies to do to protect your citizens? How are you going about doing that? I don't need to hear from the chief of police that we all need to remain calm and protest peacefully. Fuck you and fuck that. What are you doing to keep me safe? What are you doing to keep my mother safe, my sister safe, my community safe from these thugs? That's what I need to hear coming out of these agents or these officers. Because if you're not going to do it, then it's time for the American people to organize and to utilize their Second Amendment right to protect themselves from what has clearly become an unaccountable and lawless agency that's killing Americans.
Do they believe that? I think they do. Are they benefiting financially? I think some are. Is there training taking place? There are some videos. If you look closely at the videos and social feeds, you're going to see some common movements. Those movements are depicted. When I say movements, the positioning, the activities from these so-called protesters, they're in fact, they're soldiers in this movement, to be more accurate. You're going to see some people doing some very similar things, refusing to stand up or walk. You've all seen it. And isn't it interesting? All of these people are engaged in the same behavior, the positioning of their hands. They're all being taught these moves because it takes more manpower. It's just a pain in the ass. If you ever try to move a dead body, okay, you talk about dead weight. It's dead weight. So when they go limp, it's like a real pain in the backside. Okay, especially if they're still sucking air. Okay, but they're taught this. Cut 11. This will show you on a local basis, and I'm sad to say this is in my own state of Pennsylvania, but it's on the other, you can't get any further away from me in Pennsylvania if you tried. This is the sheriff. Have you seen this? The sheriff of Philadelphia County. Go and play cut 11. It'll speak for itself.
Good afternoon. I'm Rochelle Bilal, the sheriff for the city and county of Philadelphia. And I say her name, Renee Good.
Renee Good.
This should not have happened, but we're here today. Let know that law enforcement professionals, real ones, not the fake made-up ICE, probably trumps a new army to attack citizens of the United States. Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. No law enforcement professional wears a mask. Mm. None. Those that come into our communities wearing a mask to commit crime, I'm thank God for our district attorney, Larry Krasner, who say he's gonna lock them up. And I'm saying now, we are not gonna whisk you away for them to hide your identity, because when you do it there, you get arrested there. No whisk away for them to hide you. None of that here. Law enforcement professionals do not shoot at moving vehicles. I'm not saying fleeing, because she wasn't fleeing. She was getting out of the way. Law enforcement professionals do not stand in front of moving vehicles invoking an action that is illegal. No, we don't. And so we stand here today with all those who stand against the made-up fake, what you can call ICE, professional law enforcement. I don't call them none of that. I call them made-up fake wannabe law enforcement. Because what they do is against not only legal law, but the moral law.
Okay, you can cut that. Larry Krasner, a product of Soros, a product of the left funding. Again, usual suspects, but now here you have law enforcement. So what you've seen tonight, you've seen verification by the White House, 57 elected representatives, people in power from governors to, I mean, congressmen, the gambits, right? 57, again, interesting number. And then you've got law enforcement. Against law enforcement. All of these are important for people to see where we're at today. Speaking of law enforcement, remember during the COVID days, you didn't wear a mask. Law enforcement was out there and they beat the crap out of you for not wearing a mask in some cases. Remember that? Now, that very same group who were demanding you and I and everyone else to wear masks because they helped against this virus. And hey, let's never forget the role of Fauci and all of the globalists sucking off the teat of the Klaus Schwab empire. And all of the members of the very capstone of the pyramid I earlier referenced. Now, you wear a mask, you should be shot. You're a Nazi, you should be beat. Oh, the hypocrisy and the irony, if not for motive. One last video I want to show you before the end video, which will give you hope. One last video. This is cut 10. The video itself lasts almost 5 minutes. We're going to just play just a sliver. This is New York City. I want you to listen. Not necessarily watch. Do that, but listen. If you've seen this, Think about this. Think about what's being said. What's that? It's cut 10. I'm sorry. Cut 10. Did I say something else? Probably. Cut 10. Listen. Go ahead. Play it. This goes on and on and on and on and on. In case you missed the wording, Kristi Noem will hang. Save a life, kill ICE. There are other names mentioned for eradication. But think about what is taking place. Consider the implications. These are not organic talking points. These are very well scripted. You go to any leftist city from Ithaca, and I've been to Ithaca. I've argued with people in Ithaca, town officials, to Portland, to Boulder, Colorado, where in the middle of the town, there is nothing. There is a, think of it like a bus stop without the overhang. And it's like a wall, nothing but communist, socialist, democratic socialist and communist literature and identities, locations of churches that will train you to fight our federal or the troops enforcing federal law. So here we are. We're looking at all of these components that are being pushed to where we're at today. None of this is organic. This has all been organized, and we are seeing the culmination of over 100 years of planning to this point. And to have that 2020, and this is important, to have the 2020 election stolen through a Venezuelan operation out of a Serbian office, and to have the same thing attempted to be repeated in 2024 but stopped by patriots. Episode 45, I believe it is, Laura Logan, the book Stolen Elections. Read that. Listen to Laura Logan. It's all coming to a head. And oh, by the way, when a transfer of power exists or happens, those who remain, like the prison guards I've personally seen and talked to, interviewed in Attica and at Rikers Island,